SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two of the Early Line here on the opening day of this new week. It is a Monday on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here until 11 a.m. Eastern Time. DRS, our weekend winners and losers from the weekend that was. We both fired off our first winner of the weekend right before we reached hour number two. You went with the Philadelphia Eagles, the only one-loss team in the NFL, the best record around the National Football League, 7-1 for Philadelphia. I gave some credit where it is deserved to Denver, the Broncos snapping a 16-game losing skid against the Kansas City Chiefs. DRS, who are your other two weekend winners from this past week?
Yeah, number two, we'll go out to the NFC West. Look at those Seahawks. Oh, having a nice little season, but if you look closer now, they are actually in the lead in the NFC West, and that's massive because we didn't think the 49ers were giving up that lead at all throughout the remaining parts of the season. Quite frankly, coming into the season, it looked like a freebie here in this division for the 49ers. That's not the case anymore. You got three legitimate wide receivers, a very good ground game, Geno Smith playing good football, and a revamped defense here, and a great home field advantage. Seattle Seahawks for me, winner number two on the week. Why? Because they're now past the San Francisco 49ers and look like they're on their way to a playoff run. Winner number three for me, DeAndre Hopkins of the Tennessee Titans. It looked like he was going to be on a milk carton the rest of the season. No Ryan Tannehill, no veteran quarterback presence. Is it going to be Malik Willis, who actually came in the game yesterday, fumbled immediately, so hopefully we don't see him back in that game. But Will Levis has a cannon for an arm that invigorates a wide receiver. Yep. For a guy that was looking toward the trade block here, and maybe he still is, getting a three-touchdown performance yesterday maybe entices some other teams to make that move. Yeah. But he won big time yesterday because it feels like, man, I'm back in Houston, or at least I'm back in Arizona with a healthy Kyler Murray. Good for him. Winner of the week here. Feels good to get a couple touchdown passes sent your way.
We'll talk about Will Levis in just a moment. First, we welcome in our Sports Grid Radio audience here to the opening day of a new week. It is hour number two on TEL. He is Donnie. I am Ben. You are listening on Sirius XM Channel 159. All of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the mix as well. My second winner of the weekend, Donnie, the Cincinnati Bengals. How could they not? They have won three straight games. They go on the road, improve it against one of the best other teams in the NFL, the San Francisco 49ers. And Donnie, that was our conversation for most of the week about that game. We expected the Bengals to keep it competitive, whether it was Sam Darnold or Brock Purdy ending up getting the start for San Francisco. Would the Niners lose three straight? They ended up doing just that. But I asked you, Donnie, if the Bengals cover as a 3.5, 4.5-point underdog and they keep the game close in Santa Clara, is that good enough? And your response, I think, was fair. No, because there's not many margins of error left for a Bengals team that started 1-3 if they want to get back to where we all expected at the beginning of the year. A surefire playoff team, a divisional contender in the AFC North, and a true contender for a conference championship for the third consecutive season. So the Bengals not only keep it competitive, they win by two touchdowns on the road in Santa Clara against San Francisco. I understand Brock Purdy, maybe not 100%. Hey, he cleared concussion protocol. He played in the football game. I understand Debo Samuel was out for a second consecutive game, and Trent Williams was not healthy either, but that's a huge win for Cincy. And my third winner of the weekend, a winner for the first time in his NFL career, Bryce Young leading the Panthers to their first victory of the season. And not just their first win, Donnie, against the Cardinals or the Packers or some other franchise. It was against C.J. Stroud, who was the number two overall pick this past April and is still the Offensive Rookie of the Year favorite. He had looked, Donnie, like that number one overall guy outplaying Bryce Young each and every weekend so far. So Young plays really well yesterday at home for Carolina, fresh off the bye, a new offensive play caller for the Panthers as well, the OC there in Carolina. And Bryce Young and the Panthers get their first victory of the year and do so, Donnie, individually for Bryce Young in the 1-versus-2 matchup over C.J. Stroud in Houston.
Yeah, and also, let's keep in mind, they were losing late in the game in the fourth quarter. He drives them down the field to get a game-winning field goal, so equally impressive on his end here. And if there's one game you needed to win, it was going to be that one for your psyche. Coming out of the bye, they don't win that game. We start on the march here to say, I don't know if they're going to win a football game the remaining parts of the season. Let's get to some losers this week for me. I'll go over my top three, the San Francisco 49ers. I don't want to hear it anymore, and I don't want to, because some of the teams in the upper echelon get graded a little bit differently than the 49ers for some reason. Oh, Brock Purdy can't do any wrong. What did you want him to do? Debo's out. I don't know. People are injured every single week, and you don't give other quarterbacks that same advantage. He's now lost three straight games. The Niners are bleeding, but still, we're in that hole like, oh, I'm not going to worry about the 49ers. They'll get healthy over the bye week, and they'll be just fine coming up. Are we sure of that? Because again, it wasn't, oh, they lost to the Eagles, the Chiefs, and the Bills on the road in three straight weeks in tough, hard-fought games. They'll get it together. No, they were underwhelming in all three straight games, including teams that are hovering around 500 with a majority of injuries. I'm going to go to the Falcons here. It's my number two loser of the week. He can't go on the road with that disgusting performance against Will Levis and have him throw. It looks like he's Joe Montana. But also, the reason why they're the losers, not for losing that football game, Desmond Ridder, okay, the experiment is over. He can't play football at a high enough level for you to succeed, because Heinicke came in and was moving the football up and down the field repeatedly here. Ritter's gone. That's a partial reason why the Falcons are my losers of the week. And then number three, the Commanders. They lose to the Eagles, but Adam Schefter sent out a tweet, Ben, that it said, you know what? Referendum game. If we beat the Eagles, we'll buy. If we lose the Eagles, we'll sell. What a stupid franchise here. Hope they sell the whole thing here.
And when you look at what Desmond Ridder has done, DRS, he has also lost so many fumbles. He lost two last week. He had another one yesterday. He had three INTs a couple of weekends ago. It does not seem like Desmond Ridder is the guy for Atlanta. That ties into my number one loser of the weekend. It is me. I have been very critical of Will Levis. I thought Will Levis being a top five pick or the second overall selection in front of a guy like CJ Stroud was laughable. And I was right on draft night this past April. I was not right, though, to be so critical of Will Levis entering his first NFL career start, because he made history, DRS, yesterday. One of the three quarterbacks in the history of the NFL in their career debut to throw for four touchdowns. 19 of 29, 238 passing yards for Levis, and four scores. Three of them to DeAndre Hopkins. That deep ball looked great. That is the arm strength of Will Levis, and the Titans get a win, just their third of this year. What does that mean for Ryan Tannehill? Might he be on the move before tomorrow's trade deadline? But a big victory for Will Levis. My second loser of the weekend, Donnie, like you said, the San Francisco 49ers, for every reason you laid out. The best teams in football are expected to win games in some form or fashion. It doesn't need to be by 28 points each and every week. And the Green Bay Packers, Donnie, what are you going to do with Jordan Love? I'm not so sure. They look lifeless. They have lost four straight games. A World Series. That's what we preview up next, live right here on the Early Run.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A recap of the first two games of the 2023 Fall Classic, a World Series this weekend in Arlington, before we change venues for the first time as we head to the desert in downtown Phoenix on this Monday night. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. DRS, after two games, we are even at one game apiece in the 2023 World Series. The Rangers, in dramatic fashion on Friday night, come all the way back in the home half of the ninth. Corey Seager goes Yabo for a two-run shot in the bottom of the ninth before the man that is as hot as fish grease here in October, Adolis Garcia. El Bombi walks it off in the 11th for Texas in game number one, a 6-5 victory for the Rangers. Game number two, Arizona looks the part. They respond with a 9-1 victory, Donnie. 16 combined hits for the Diamondbacks as a team on Saturday night. So here we are, Donnie, as we go to Phoenix for game number three, even at 1-1 here in the 2023 World Series.
Yeah, and quite frankly, we're lucky, or should say the Texas Rangers are lucky. They're not down 0-2 heading back to Arizona at this point here, because game number one, that should have been a victory there by the Arizona Diamondbacks. But hey, man, superstars stepping up in big moments like Corey Seager and Adolis Garcia. So much fun to watch here. But that was a whitewashing on Saturday night. 9-1 victory, 16 hits for the Diamondbacks, only 4 for the Rangers. Now, having said that too, game number one, who pitched for the Diamondbacks? Zach Gallen. Been a little bit touchable here in the playoffs. The one guy who has really turned it back on has been Merrill Kelly. Sensational in his last start against the Phillies. Sensational in this opening start of the World Series. Fault's going to be on the mound tonight. He's been equally as impressive, if not more impressive, than the first two starting pitchers for the Arizona Diamondbacks, which again, we'll preview that game later. But I do think the pitching matchup is in hand today. Imagine that. Scherzer versus Fault in a World Series game. And I'm going like, yeah, the better pitcher for me is going to be Fault on the mound. That's tremendous stuff to even talk about here. Yeah. But it's a 1-1 World Series. The sky is the limit in this one. We should be having some fun. But if you are a Diamondbacks backer, which I like their price to start this series, they're still underdogs here. And I still think it's a good price to jump on for the Arizona Diamondbacks.
No doubt about it, Donnie. We'll look at those odds in just a moment. And that's a great point, by the way. On paper, and for the past 15 years in Major League Baseball, well, Brandon Fott, the rookie at 25 years old, hasn't been there for the past 15 years. But if you were to tell me a team sends Max Scherzer on the bump in a World Series game trying to take the series lead, and I'm going with a 25-year-old rookie that played his college baseball at Bellarmine, shout out the Knights in Louisville, that would be something I never thought I would utter, but that's how I feel, and that's the respect that Brandon Fott deserves here in this moment at home tonight in Phoenix. But, Donnie, let's go back all the way to game number one, because you're right. The Diamondbacks probably deserved a victory. All credit in the world to the Rangers for battling back. But what were one of the keys, Donnie, of this series and what we saw in the NLCS? It was Arizona's back end of that bullpen, right? Ryan Thompson, the sidearm guy, Kevin Ginkle to come in there as well. And then the closer Arizona acquired at the deadline, Paul Sewald from Seattle. But it was not easy for Paul Sewald in the home half of the ninth, and it allowed Corey Seager to come up with a man on in that two-run shot that tied the game, sending it to extras. And then Adolis Garcia. When you talk about history, Donnie, that's what we've seen out of Garcia. That was his 22nd RBI, by the way, here in this October run for Texas, the walk-off solo shot in the home half of the 11th, as Joe Davis, the play-by-play announcer for Fox, said on the call as the ball sailed over the right field fence. The legend grows. 22 ribbies for Garcia in this postseason for Texas, the most we have ever seen in a single playoff run now in Major League Baseball history.
Yeah, absolutely unconscious at the plate and hitting shots in the biggest moments here. That's what you need out of your guys in the middle of the lineup. And you got that in game number one, which the Rangers probably like, hey, man, we should have lost that one. Let's continue. Well, that momentum didn't continue day number two. But you brought up a good point here on Arizona. And basically, this is the way baseball is set up for the most part. You have a lead going into the fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth innings. You're using your bridge to a closer, which means you're throwing your best guys. When you take a look at Gallen, came out of that game, 5 innings pitched, 3 earned runs. You would hope for better, but still kept him in the ballgame there. Thompson comes in an inning pitch. No earned runs. Mantiply, an inning, no earned runs. Ginkle, an inning, no earned runs, which sets up supposed to be your best pitcher out of the bullpen. Sewald gives up the 2 earned runs there. And you knew going into extra innings, you burned all your bullets back there. And certainly, you take a look at Texas, who didn't do that because why? They weren't leading that baseball game. But it was a great comeback victory. You want to talk about letting the next day get a hold of you from what happened the previous day? Arizona was dead to rights in game number two. Oh my goodness, we had that lead. We blew it. Now we got to come back for game number two. And they were perfect on Saturday night. That was an unbelievable performance in the face of adversity here, but that's what the Diamondbacks have been doing all along. This was a team down 2-0 to the Philadelphia Phillies and didn't flinch. This was a team that needed to win 2 games, game 6 and 7 in Philadelphia, and didn't flinch. No surprise they didn't flinch Saturday night either here, Ben.
And the Rangers have won the opener. Now, of all 4 of their series here in October, Arizona has dropped the last 2 game number ones, but has found a way to show that resilience. as Merrill Kelly has as well. 7 innings of work, Donnie, on Saturday against Texas, only allowing 3 hits, just a single earned run. He also struck out 9. It allowed that bullpen that was taxed in game number 1 to get a day off, to have Sunday off as well. They're going to be full and fresh for game number 3 tonight, which could prove critical as we head back to Arizona. And it was the first loss of the postseason for Jordan Montgomery, who was a perfect 3-0 for Texas, Donnie, entering this World Series. When you look at the odds, what is so fascinating now about this Diamondbacks team, Donnie, they've been booked as the dog in all 14 games in October, both of their games in the wild card round against Milwaukee, all 3 in the matchup against the Dodgers, even including games, by the way, in downtown Phoenix, all 7 games against Philadelphia booked as the dog, and of course, the opening 2 games here in the World Series. They have won 10 of those 14. They have covered on the run line in 11 of the 14. Not only, Donnie, are they showing that resolve, they are proving to be incredibly profitable because of so many plus money prices on the D-backs.
Yeah, and technically right now, priced again as the underdog. Now, granted, yep, a -110 split at a lot of outlets, but the FanDuel Sportsbook has a -112, -104 split in favor of the Texas Rangers here. So they're comfortable being where they want to be, and I vehemently disagree with the odds market tonight. Now, could, you know, clock strike midnight, Brandon Fault turns back to the pitcher was in April, May, and June? Yes, but I'm more willing to bet that's not going to happen. He's pitched in monster scenarios already in the postseason. He's not going to look on the other side and go, hey, man, I got a dominate Max Scherzer. Max Scherzer hasn't been dominant at all in his postseason run. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out and see where the betting public actually goes with their money late in the day. But I keep telling you early on, hey, Scherzer fought. Oh, it should be an easy win for the Rangers. Absolutely not. And I think the Arizona Diamondbacks are, I don't know, going to surprise. They're not going to surprise me, but maybe surprise many with Brandon Fault as another legitimate pitching prospect on the mound tonight. And I think he'll out-duel Max Scherzer.
If the line ends right here, -112 to Texas, -104 to the money line to the Diamondbacks, they will be the underdog for the 15th consecutive time, all 15 games here in October. And Donnie, when you look at the odds for the series outright, it makes no sense. When could you ever say in a postseason series, let alone this World Series, a playoff series that tied at one game all, the team heads back home with 3 games where they could potentially clinch the series with home field advantage, and they are the underdog. It makes no sense. Donnie, you look at the correct score market, one of my favorite markets in any postseason, regardless of sport. The 3 most likely options, or the 2 most likely options, I should say, the Rangers in 6, the Rangers in 7, +310, +330, respectively. The shortest for the Diamondbacks is in 7 games at +470. There's a really good chance Arizona heads back to Texas with a 3-2 series lead, and we already know the Diamondbacks have that resiliency, Donnie, to come back and win games they are unexpected to do so. Now, the Rangers are a perfect 8-0 on the road this October, but Donnie, the odds don't really stack up to me right now.
No, they don't stack up. They're not correct because basically you're taking a look at the season in its totality, which the Texas Rangers were a better ball club here. But sometimes you're not factoring guys like Brandon Fault. They're not supposed to compete with Scherzer, and he will.
A preview of Game 3 tonight in Phoenix. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are live right here on this Monday on the early line on Sports Grid. A sports equinox on this Monday. All 4 major professional men's sports leagues here in the United States and abroad in Canada will play on this Monday. It is the only sports equinox of the calendar year in 2023, just the 30th time it has ever happened, DRS, in the history of our world. Because a sports equinox really needs one thing, a World Series game and an NFL game to be on the same same day. And that's what we have tonight. Game number three of the World Series in Phoenix, Monday night in the Motor City between the Lions and the Raiders. We'll preview that game to end out week eight in the NFL up next. But now, a preview of the third game of the Fall Classic. We are tied at one game all in this World Series. Texas won the opener in walk-off fashion, courtesy of Corey Seager to send it to extras, and then Adolis Garcia in the home half of the 11th. Then, game number two, Arizona responds. They win 9-1. So, Donnie, now we focus on game number three. As we have said multiple times previewing this game, you see Texas as a slight road favorite, minus 112, minus 104 on the other side on the money line price for the Diamondbacks. It is wild to say that the pitching edge tonight is probably in favor of Arizona. They throw 25-year-old Brandon Pfaadt onto the bump, who has made three starts here in this postseason for the Diamondbacks. Make that four starts for Arizona in October. And on the other side, Donnie, it's Mad Max. Max Scherzer gets the nod tonight for the Rangers. And yet, Donnie, both you and I feel the same way. The pitching edge tonight in game number three favors Arizona, and you could take advantage with the Diamondbacks as the home underdog.
Yes, and you can take advantage here. Last 30 batters that Max Scherzer has faced, how about this? A 370 ISO power number and a 467 weighted on base percentage. Max Scherzer, usually a K maven on the mound, only a 20% K rate him for him. And if you break that down to left-handed batters, that's only an 11% K rate. He's going to get some pretty good left-handed bats he's going to go up against in this game, which includes Corbin Carroll, Ketel Marte, Alec Thomas, and also Geraldo Perdomo. Take a look at these. If we're just focusing on lefties, there's not a huge sample size. It's only nine batters for Max Scherzer, but as we told you, it's a high number, a 286 weighted, 286 ISO power number. Those four lefties I just told you about going up against right-handed pitching over the past month, which basically just includes the playoffs. Carroll, a 273 ISO power number. Ketel Marte, 233. Look at the young kid, Alec Thomas, 300. And Perdomo out of the nine hole, a 231. That's where your RBI opportunities are going to come from. And also, sometimes people shy away, Ben. Top of the lineup, I don't want to go for an RBI because you have to hit a Schwarber bomb here, basically, to drive somebody in. But take a look at this. Let's just say it's Ketel Marte you're starting to focus on here and just getting a price point at a plus 140 right now to drive in an RBI at the FanDuel Sportsbook. You got Corbin Carroll in front of him as a leadoff batter, a 388 weighted on base percentage. Once that lineup flips through, look at the bottom of the lineup, as I just told you. Alec Thomas, a 367 weighted on base percentage, and Perdomo, a 355. That's the 7-9 hole hitter. There's going to be some traffic on the base pass here for Carroll and Marte. So don't shy away from the top of the lineup feeling like, I'm going to burn in a bat here. I don't like doing that. Don't look at that opportunity that way. They'll get just as many at bats here with runners in scoring position probably than the middle of that lineup, Moreno, Walker, and Pham. That's the angle I'm looking to play. And also, as we told you, Max Scherzer has not been good. If you're betting a game on saying, boy, do you remember how good Scherzer was in 2017? Don't do that here. It's 6 years later. He's just not that good right now, and I'm going to fade him tonight. My RBI opportunities, for the most part, probably going to come from the Diamondbacks tonight, Ben.
Yeah, completely agree, DRS. And when you focused on Ketel Marte, that's the right look. A hit in all 14 games for Arizona in this postseason. The Diamondbacks into the postseason, by the way, for the first time since the 2017 MLB campaign. They had four playoff games back in 2017. A win against the Rockies in the wild card round, and they lost to the Los Angeles Dodgers in that next series. But in all four games for Arizona, Ketel Marte back in 2017, over 5 years ago, recorded a hit. So that's an MLB record now for Marte. 18 consecutive playoff games with at least one hit. He's also had two ribbies in each of the opening two games here in this series for Arizona. To record a hit tonight, it's minus 230 for Marte. That is baked in. It's not actually the strongest price. That would be Gabe Moreno at minus 290. On the other side, you see Semien minus 290, Corey Seager at minus 280, and Adolis Garcia at minus 210. The second best price to hit a home run at plus 290, only behind Corey Seager. And Donnie, when you focus on this game, just from the money line perspective and the over-under, with where Arizona has been, again, it's not a hefty underdog price or to see Texas favored in this game. Minus 112 for the Rangers, minus 104 for the Diamondbacks, only 8 cents of difference. But if the line holds and Arizona enters tonight even as a slight home underdog, that would mean the D-backs are the underdog in all 15 games they have played here in this postseason. And Donnie, with the over-under at 9, we have gone over in both of the opening two games in this series as well. If most of the offense, Donnie, comes from Arizona, as they can get to Max Scherzer, do you think the Rangers can respond with runs of their own against Brandon Font, or as they get deeper into that D-backs bullpen?
You always think you have a chance with the Texas Rangers offense. Let's just take Font out of the moment here and just say it's a normal right-handed pitcher. If we take a look at the last month in Major League Baseball, right-handed pitching, that's been a specialty for the lineup here for the Texas Rangers. Outside of Jonah Heim, Leota Tavares, and also Marcus Semien, everybody else is above average in both weighted on base percentage and ISO power numbers, which is pretty impressive. Now, as we just had a breakdown here of how I think the Arizona Diamondbacks bats will do going up against, let's just say, a Max Scherzer, let's take a look at how the Diamondbacks pitcher, Brandon Fault's going to go up against the Rangers here. Now, let's look at the season as a totality. 488 batters. Look at during the season what Fault has done combined. A 239 ISO, horrible. 359 weighted on base percentage, elevated here. This actually does include his last month through 66 batters. So it just goes to tell you how bad he was to start the season, how much better he has been here over the past 30 days. But look at the left-handed batters. Let's use that one. A 238 ISO power number and a 358 weighted on base percentage. What's the difference here in the playoffs? That turns into an 077 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 258. He's been lights out against lefties, which is going to be key. If you saw on Friday when we did a breakdown of the show, what was my favorite prop bet here? Evan Carter to get an RBI. Got one in that first inning here because I love the matchup with Gallen on the mound against the lefty who Carter's been torching right-handed pitchers. But in this game, Carter still has unbelievable statistics, but Fault has been so good against left-handed batters. I think that might be a neutralizing factor. Now, if you're saying to yourself, how does Fault do against right-handed batters? He struggled during the regular season. He hasn't really been it's a 229 ISO, which is high, but it's weighted on base percentage is right in the range of 320. Now, that might bring you up to Adolis Garcia, who lines up with a 431 ISO power number and a 498 weighted on base percentage. Sign me up on that. That's your RBI. That's your home run. Not so fast. Go back to the last series against the Philadelphia Phillies. Are you letting Adolis Garcia beat you here? If the matchup is in your favor, which means Garcia gets a right-handed pitcher, do you think Torey Lovello is going to be like, hey, by the way, throw a couple down Broadway. Hopefully he misses the bat here. Just buyer beware in Adolis Garcia. I understand he's good, but he might get Barry Bonds treatment tonight, which means you get one pitch to hit and you better hit it.
Yeah, and that was the case, Donnie, for most of game number one, of course, until we got two extra innings. When you look at where things stand, Donnie, again, it does bear repeating how great Brandon Fott has been here in his first postseason. The 25-year-old rookie from Louisville that played his college ball at Bellarmine. 14 innings for Fott over his last three starts against the Dodgers and two against the Phillies, including game number 7 in Philly inside the bank. He's allowed 2 earned runs in those total of 14 innings. He has only ushered 2 walks as well, 16 strikeouts, Donnie, in the last 2 starts against the Fightins as well. Now, Fought himself has not recorded a win yet this year, but of course, the Diamondbacks have won all 4 of the starts that he has made. He has a 2.70 ERA, 16 strikeouts in his last 2 starts. His K-prop tonight is 4.5 against Texas. And the Rangers, Donnie, are not the favorites tonight because the odds makers are like, well, it's Max Scherzer against this Fott kid, or Fat, however you say it, the 25-year-old rookie. We got to make them the favorite. That's not why the odds are the way they are. Obviously, the power ratings that still have Texas as the favorite to win this series outright favor the Rangers, and probably taking into effect, Donnie, the Rangers are 8-0 on the road this postseason. All 8 games for the Rangers away from Arlington, they have picked up a victory. That's certainly in play tonight. But Donnie, when you look at the odds, once again, both you and I are a little bit skeptical of who should be the true favorite for game number 3 tonight and who should be the favorite in this World Series. Currently, it's Texas at minus 142. The 2 best prices to win the World Series MVP, Adolis Garcia, because of the narrative, and Corey Seager, who has also been sensational. But if Arizona can win this series, more than likely the World Series MVP comes from the Diamondbacks. Tommy Pham, a home run in game number 1, 4-for-4 at the plate on Saturday night in the second game, 2 doubles DRS, 2 runs scored, and then you have Corbin Carroll and Ketel Marte. Marte himself, a hit in all 14 games this postseason. He's making Major League Baseball history each and every night.
Here's the issue, right? They're humans that vote on this, right? So it's only supposed to be the World Series MVP, not a culmination of the entire rounds of playoffs here. But let's just say the Diamondbacks win, and there are some deserving players on that team that can be MVP. If you have a record-breaking performance that even though it was extended outside of the World Series, I have a hard time believing that if it's close, the tiebreaker is not going to go to the guy with the longest history here and making playoff records here in Ketel Marte. That's something to keep an eye on. It's not supposed to be voted that way, but I got a feeling it might end up voting that way.
It's the writers. We know baseball writers can often be strongly opinionated, and they like to side with history in a long and illustrious history in MLB. Marte also four RBIs in the first two games as well. A Monday Night Football preview in the Motor City.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here. Hour number two on the early line right here on a Monday morning. Armchair quarterback that we play for most of the show. But now we got to start playing forward to some live action tonight in the Motor City Monday Night Football. And that's a game between the Las Vegas Raiders and the Detroit Lions. If we set the table for this one today at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Lions here, how about over a touchdown favorite here for the Detroit Lions at a -7.5-point price? Money line on this game split, +295 here for the Raiders, -370 price here. As you see those graphics coming up, moving right now in the direction live for the Detroit Lions, a total in this game priced out at 46.5. So we're expecting points coming in this one, at least one would think. If we take a look at the Vegas Raiders. Let's go over a five-game snapshot on where they've been playing football here in the NFL in past recent weeks. How about this? You look at that Pittsburgh game back on September 24th, lost by 5 points. They then lost to the Chargers by 7. Then we had back-to-back victories here for the Vegas Raiders, 17-13, close win to Green Bay, and also 21-17, a close-fought victory over the New England Patriots before that stinker last week against the Chicago Bears, where they lose 30-12 in a game started by Tyson Bagent. And you saw that and said, well, maybe Bagent's really good. Wasn't very good last night against the Chargers. Five-game snapshot here for the Detroit Lions. How about them? Beating Atlanta, beating Green Bay, beating Carolina, beating Tampa, rolling along as we were actually saying, could the Detroit Lions actually be one of the best teams in the NFC, and how would they hold up the rest of the way? Well, before we can even have that conversation any longer, look at that game against the Baltimore Ravens, 38-6 drubbing in that one. So now we're looking for a bounce back performance. Now the keys here for last week, right? You did see some players missing games, David Montgomery here for the Detroit Lions, but the key injury was for the Vegas Raiders. You're forced to play Brian Hoyer / Aiden O'Connell. Now it looks like you're going to get Jimmy Garoppolo back for the game tonight, which should open up the scoring. So if we're looking at that 46.5, it makes some sense. We don't expect the last week's performance against the Ravens here, 6 points here for the Detroit Lions to continue. Quite frankly, the Raiders don't have a solid defense like you do for the Baltimore Ravens. So scoring should be up a bit in this game. But if we're breaking down both of these quarterbacks here, right? You take a look at starting quarterback Jared Goff coming into this football game versus Jimmy Garoppolo. Who are you going to trust more in this spot? The one thing that we do know, Detroit at home is a different animal here, right? Coming out and attacking. They're built for the turf. And also in recent weeks, we saw Amon St. Brown be a little bit banged up and that wide receiver core being down. The one thing, if there was any positive last week coming out of the football game for the Detroit Lions, it was the emergence of Jahmyr Gibbs as being a feature football player / feature running back for the Detroit Lions. Looks like he's going to do that again tonight. Why? David Montgomery not expected to play in this game tonight. So if we're breaking down the scoring margins in this one, one would say to yourself, yeah, it's pretty easy if you wanted to pick a teaser here on the Detroit Lions. They're supposed to win that football game. They're the more quality team. But if I'm looking objectively against the Raiders, there should be holes in that secondary that you can try to get after. But the question being, as always, as you line up, is how effective is Jimmy Garoppolo going to be in this football game tonight coming back from that back injury? He could be only one play from being sidelined to again early in that football game, and then you're up the creek again relying on a Brian Hoyer type of performance. But if we're going over the lineups in this game and who's going to match up, if I'm going to get a good performance out of Jimmy Garoppolo, he can equal Jared Goff in this football game. He certainly can. Take a look at some of the props here. Jared Goff listed at 262.5 as a passing prop. Jimmy Garoppolo right behind him, guys, at 256.5. So this would be markedly different if you were trying to line up a quarterback situation with a rookie quarterback and or Brian Hoyer. You would automatically go to the Detroit side here. Look at the running backs here. Starting running back here, I think, is going to have a very good game usage rate-wise. That's Jahmyr Gibbs going up against Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs got paid here on his franchise tag, but certainly not living up to the outputs that he had in the 2022 season. Look at the props tonight. Rush yards for Jahmyr Gibbs, 70.5. That's a pretty lofty number. Jacobs, 59.5 here. And by the way, the anytime touchdown markets here, which is what most people are going to look forward to, these guys are the central focus of the offense in the backfield. So if you're looking at a point here for Jahmyr Gibbs, how about this for the rookie? A minus 170 price. That's a lot of respect. And by the way, you have minus 170 prices for Christian McCaffrey on some weeks here. Just to go and show you exactly what the price is going to be for a starting running back tonight going up against those Vegas Raiders. And then, Ben, taking a look here, Josh Jacobs. You know he's going to be the goal line back. That's a plus 100 price. We're just starting to recap some of these situations coming into this football game and how we think they're going to play out tonight on Monday Night Football, Ben.
Donnie, it is fascinating. You just made the point about Josh Jacobs, the NFL's leading rusher last year in 2022. It's not for a lack of trying this year. 118 carries. He has had multiple games above 15 rush attempts. That's not illustrious, but he's had five above 15 attempts. He's averaging just 2.9 yards per pop, and that's why you see 59.5 is the rushing yards prop. Also, Detroit has been really good defending the run this year. The second best rushing defense in the NFL, only giving up 76 yards per game on average to the opposing offense. They have not allowed a single player this year to rush for 100 or more yards. It's a franchise record for the Lions dating back to the early 1930s. That's not really where I'm looking in this football game whatsoever. And that's why I think the Lions have the advantage. Donnie, we talk about Detroit often, and we have made this point a few times here on TEL. Each and every week, fair or unfair, right or wrong for Detroit, it's kind of a litmus test. When they're the underdog against good teams, can they compete with the best in the National Football League? Last week, a disappointing result, of course, in Baltimore, a three-point dog. We thought it was the marquee game of the early window. Could the Lions keep it with the flock? No, Baltimore won 38-6. When the Lions are a favorite of whatever number, can they cover in a game that is expected to be competitive and win outright? Can they then cover as north of a touchdown favorite? And all five wins this year, Donnie, for the Lions, they have covered four as the favorite. This is their second largest spread of the year. The only time it was elsewhere north of a touchdown was early on in the opening month, a 9-point favorite against Carolina. So again, here we find ourselves with a litmus test. Can they hold down Josh Jacobs? What are the Raiders going to bring offensively with Jimmy Garoppolo at the helm? What does it mean for Devontae Adams, who, Donnie, we talk about it all the time, wide receivers, when it's not going their way, when they're not a focal point of the offense, like to make their point, I deserve more. Is this Devontae's final game in Las Vegas before the trade deadline? I don't think they're actually going to part ways with a man they gave up so much to acquire just two off seasons ago, but it's certainly trending in a negative way right now for Tay in Las Vegas.
Yeah, that's a good point you bring up here, because some of these key football players might be on the move over the next 48 hours, and rightfully so. And Devontae Adams, the reason why he wanted to go to Oakland was obviously just get away from Green Bay, because you say to yourself, my goodness, man, you have such a great thing here with Aaron Rodgers. We don't know how long Aaron Rodgers is going to be there. Let me go to Oakland. But I want to play with my best friend, my teammate in college football. I want to make a lot of money. I want to play in a grandiose city like Las Vegas. And he goes to play there 1 year, and they pull the plug on his quarterback, and now he's based on saying, okay, it's Jimmy Garoppolo. How long is he going to be here? Am I happy? And also, maybe enticing with a phone call from Andy Reid that goes, you know what? You know, we don't really trade within division here, and the price is going to be expensive, but we have a window to win a Super Bowl. You can help us out. Come over here. My dad is going to say, you know what? Leave me in Las Vegas at this point. It'll be interesting if he is on the move, but as you brought up, The way to attack the Detroit team is not on the ground, because rightfully so. Yeah. Josh Jacobs, you could say, was having a sensational season. Okay, you say, well, maybe they have a chance. They haven't had a great rushing game here for Vegas, and also stopping the run is what Detroit does well. So you look at that secondary as being a little bit vulnerable. It should be a Davante Adams game here. It should be a Jakobi Meyers game. Michael Meyer at tight end here. There's a lot of options, because if you don't think the Raiders are going to win this football game, you can't say to yourself, well, Jacobs going to have a really good game because down two touchdowns in the third quarter, he's going to be getting the handoffs. He's not going to be doing that. But the question is here, how healthy is Jimmy Garoppolo coming off of that back injury? If I can get a normal Jimmy Garoppolo performance, I'm looking at the passing game for the Raiders as maybe the best way to attack this football game.
Yeah, Donnie, it's an interesting number, though, on Jimmy Garoppolo, in my estimation. 256.5. It's a number Jimmy has been well under in every game this year for Las Vegas that he has played in, except for Sunday night more than a month ago at home against the Steelers. That was his only time over 300 yards. In fact, it was his only time north of 250 over this prop of 256.5. But you're right, the Lions in the back end, not great defending the pass. Last week, Lamar Jackson, 357. Bryce Young the week prior, 247, one of the highs of his NFL career. Even Jordan Love, who struggled mightily throughout this season, 246 yards on that Thursday night football game against Detroit. That's why the number is 256.5, not because of Jimmy G and reestablishing that connection in the Motor City with Davante Adams, but because of the yardage Detroit has allowed. But I still think that's a little bit high for Jimmy Garoppolo. We don't often take unders when it comes to the props. If you're looking for an under in the passing yards perspective, I might look at Jimmy Garoppolo under 256.5. On the other side, Donnie, Jared Goff has the stats, at least, to be an MVP consideration. Detroit will have to be there at the end of the road, but they very well might be. He still had 284 yards last week against Baltimore. And Donnie, you know where I'm going when it comes to a game that features an Iowa tight end. I would also look at Sam Laporta. The props coming out now for Detroit's tight end, 44.5. He has been Jared Goff's favorite target. You're still getting the number under 50. One of my favorite angles for Monday Night Football in Detroit.
Yeah, another interesting angle, too, is Jahmyr Gibbs. It's so fun now, because even though Montgomery's been a very serviceable running back here for the Lions, we want to see more Jahmyr Gibbs and how explosive he can be. Now, last week, they were getting blown out, but you talk about in the passing game, 9 catches for 58 yards here for Jahmyr Gibbs. His price point now is at 24.5. I still think he can get there, but I don't think the Detroit Lions are going to be playing from behind 4 touchdowns plus in this game where you're throwing every single play at that point. Also, you know what's interesting here? Looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, Sam Laporta, Jameson Williams, Josh Reynolds, and Jahmyr Gibbs. You know who we're missing right now? Amon-Ra St. Brown. So we'll see where that number price point comes in. But you are getting some lower numbers. Like the Porter's 44.5. He should be there. Williams, 24.5. That's one catch for him. Josh Reynolds, 35.5. And Jahmyr Gibbs, as we stated, at 24.5. It seems like to me in this game, I'm looking more towards the passing options, the pass catchers, than I am the running backs out of the backfield here, just taking the handoffs.
Amon-Ra St. Brown, by the way, listed as questionable for tonight's game in the Motor City. As we go to Davante Adams, DRS, last week they tried to get him the football. 12 targets, 7 grabs, only 57 yards against the team in Chicago. He knows very well from his Packers days. Jakobi Meyers has been consistent. His receiving yards prop, 59.5, a number Meyers has gone over in 4 of his 6 games this year. But Donnie, the Detroit Lions, despite losing last week by more than 30 points in Baltimore, have the best odds of any team to win any of the 8 divisions around the National Football League. -1,000. Why? Well, everybody else in the NFC North, the Packers and the Bears, stink. And even though the Vikings have won 3 straight and 4 of their last 5, with the Achilles injury to Kirk Cousins being out for the remainder of this year, it seems, Donnie, yesterday, the odds makers don't believe anybody can keep it close with the Lions. A -1,000 favorite for a Lions franchise that has not won a divisional crown in 30 years. The odds would say they're well on their way to snapping that very long drought.
Yes, and they certainly should be here with the information that we're getting back from Minnesota Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins. Who is going to step in their way? It ain't the Chicago Bears, that's for sure.
No. And Donnie, again, we're talking about a 5-2 football team in Detroit that had a dud last week in Baltimore. How do the Lions shake that off? If they do, 7.5 might not be enough in their favor. I still think they're one of the best teams in the NFC and maybe around the NFL. What does the public think? We hear from them on Monday Night Football next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Closing out hour number two of the Early Line live right here on this Monday on Sports Grid, Sirius XM channel 159, all across the Sports Grid network, and that includes the Sports Grid app. It is available for download at both the Apple and the Play Store. Scan the QR code on your screen in a matter of moments. All of our insight and information in the palm of your hand. Donnie, you're going to need the Spiz Grizz app on a night like this. The Sports Equinox for the 30th time in the history of our world. A Major League Baseball World Series game. 11 games in the association in the NBA. 9 on the ice in the NHL. I was just told 2 Major League Soccer games as well. And of course, Monday Night Football on this Monday in the Motor City between the Lions and the Raiders. So what is the best bet? We had to ask the people. Here's Fade the Public. What is your best bet for Monday Night Football at Sports Grid TV on Twitter? Is it the Lions as north of a touchdown favorite at home? The Raiders as the underdog over 46.5, under 46.5. DRS, most of the public going with America's team, the fighting Dan Campbell's Detroit laying 7.5. DRS, do you agree with the public or might you be fading them?
I'm going to fade them in this spot here. Do I think that the Lions win the football game? Yes, but anytime you're dealing with over a touchdown, that back door can certainly be open. But also keep in mind, you know, outside of that, most people are saying, man, they lost to the Chicago Bears team, just got shelled on the road by a 2-4 Chargers team, right? Don't look at it that way here. You have to look at it saying, well, who was actually playing quarterback for the Vegas Raiders, and why did that go wrong? I don't know, Brian Hoyer? Yeah. Seems like a great game plan. At least with Jimmy Garoppolo over the previous weeks with him, they were victories. And if they weren't, they were playing close to the best games here, which means a touchdown or less. That's the way I'm looking forward to this game on Monday Night Football. So I'll fade the public. My vote was for the Raiders plus 7.5. Only 17.5% of the public agreeing with me here. How about that?
Las Vegas 1-2, both straight up and against the number as an underdog this season. More previews around Monday night when hour 3 starts in 55 seconds.